Okay, thank you everyone for joining. I pray the Lord really minister to your hungry hearts tonight. I feel that, I know for me personally, he has really used the place that we are searching together at, and Daniel is really ministering to me where I'm at, where I'm seeking the Lord, and I pray that it will really minister and bless you who've taken the time to come tonight, and that the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God will truly minister and bring forth and be profitable for more of Jesus for you tonight. So let's pray, and we'll jump into the Word. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would land upon the Word and move according to your eternal purposes and what you're doing with us right now in this season, Father. We are not sufficient to even comprehend that. And you are our Father. You are the one bringing forth your Son and dealing with us. So, Lord, we can't be the part that you are, but we have our part. Minister to us through your Word tonight according to the working of your Spirit in each one for the increase in government of your Son, the Lamb, in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, to begin with, last week when we were in our winter crisis, we were able to share a class that was from a couple years ago, I think from 2019, but it was right where we're at in our Daniel searching. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I believe you all should have got the email, and it is up on the website. It's class number 7. I think the title is Beasts Devoured by the Slain Lamb That's on Fire. But there is so much in there that's going to kind of build the progression of what God is doing in Daniel. And I think that's really so much of the way the Lord has opened up Daniel to me personally, and maybe to some of you as we search these scriptures. But it has been such an awakening to my heart and a challenge to me personally to realize how much God was dealing with Daniel, the vessel of Christ, the person who God sent into captivity with Judah, and to let Daniel speak to me on that level and challenge me personally as God deals with me in my captivity and as God puts me into my fiery trials, that I can glean from Daniel, not his prophecies, yes, his prophecies, but not his prophecies as much as his personal application to everything the Lord was doing around him, doing through him, and happening in the season of the 70-year Babylonian captivity ordained of God. But Daniel, how he, as a man, as a brother, allowed the Word of God to search him and divide him and deal and bring forth the government of God, which we know is the slain lamb. And so without getting too far into that, I'd like to look into the Word of God, into Daniel's scriptures and writings, and see some elements of this that are going to really be more evident in the scriptures that we'll be looking at right now. And if you have been remembering the math equation that I was blessed to share a little bit of at the New Year's service, or at some point we shared, maybe it was at the end of the gathering, but we're going to be building a case for that math equation in many of the elements that we're looking at even now. So without saying too much at this point, just know that that's still very much being built. And the math is happening and the elements are being gathered for that equation. And it is incredible, the final answer to that math problem. It is, I think it's meant to stun my heart into the seriousness and accuracy of God's dealing, the intimacy, the exacting accuracy of the eyes of the Lord who are upon his people as he deals with them in the specific to the number accounting he has of his son in us. It is truly incredible, and but we're going to be building elements to prove that equation eventually by the end of this course. Okay, so right now we're going to begin in chapter 7 of Daniel, and let's just read that first verse. And this chapter in Daniel is Daniel's dream, and you were given a chart last class that had the four different beasts that rose from the sea in Daniel's dream. Some people may say, Kelly, there's more than one dream. Daniel had another dream in chapter 8. But now this is my opinion. I don't believe Daniel had another dream in chapter 8 in the manner in which he dreamed in chapter 7. I believe that in chapter 7, and we're going to really build this case for you to ponder and consider tonight and before the Lord later, if you so wish. But I believe Daniel chapter 7 was Daniel's dreams upon his bed of his head. It was his vision. It was his personal dealing, if you will, his personal nightmare, if you will. By the time we get to 8, it's not my vision. It's not my dream. It's not my bed and my head, but it's God's vision. And it's specifically God's vision in a certain qualification that we'll see in chapter 8, verse 26. But we're not going to look there now. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 1. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Okay, so that's just a basic look at chapter 7, and that it was Daniel's dream that the whole chapter is given to. Really briefly, if we look at chapter 8, verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. So this is 2 years later, 2 years after he had his dream in chapter 7. So in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which had appeared unto me at the first. So this vision was given to Daniel after the dream that was given to him 3 years earlier in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. The chapter 7, verse 1 was Daniel's dream. It was personal. It was his. It was his bed, his head, his vision. In chapter 8, it's God's. And we'll look at that a little more. But I felt like the Holy Spirit, and this is where he's dealing with me, is along these lines. That God, we're just going to start, Lord, help communicate this. But we'll start kind of emphasizing what I feel is where the dove is landing, at least in my heart. And I pray will bless you tonight. That God would not entrust Daniel with his vision in chapter 8 until Daniel responded in a certain way to the dream God gave him personally in chapter 7. Now, in chapter 8, in verse 26, it says that it was the vision, I just remember the scripture says it's the vision concerning the evening and morning. It's God's vision. This is chapter 8, verse 26, speaking about the vision God gave Daniel in Daniel chapter 8, that was God's vision concerning the evening and morning sacrifice. Okay, that's what chapter 8's all about. That's where we had our math equation. It's smack dab in the center of that chapter. But that vision is, it's God's vision. It's about God's evening and morning sacrifice. It's God's vision. But in chapter 7, which is 3 years earlier in the reign of Belshazzar, it's Daniel's dream. It's Daniel's head. It's Daniel's personal dealing of God, I believe. You don't have to, that may not be right. That's just what I believe. But it's Daniel's personal, deep dealing of God. And I don't believe that God would have entrusted Daniel with his vision in chapter 8, except that Daniel had responded a certain way to his personal dealing dream in chapter 7. Daniel owned, sought out, and embraced the dream of his own head on his own bed. Okay. I'll just read a note here. We can, and bear with me, it may not be clear now, but I believe as we continue, it will get more clear the point that we're trying to emphasize here. We cannot set out to interpret pro-self or our own beasts, risings, and governings in a greater context than ourselves without first being so deeply dealt with concerning our own beasts that rise out of our own sea. God gave Daniel the vision in chapter 8 only after Daniel responded so deeply to his own personal dealing in chapter 7. And again, Daniel had already, he's in his 50s-ish, around mid-40s, 50s, maybe even mid-50s, in the time of chapter 7 and chapter 8. So he's maturing as a just as a man, okay? And he has a lot of personal input from being used of God and knowing the Lord and seeking the Lord since he was a teenager and before when he was in Judah. But since he came to Babylon and from his late teens till his mid-50s, mid-40s, mid-50s, he has a lot of God dealing with him and putting things in him and preparing him for the 70 years that Daniel was going to live. He was there for the entire 70 years in Babylon, what God was going to do in him to bring forth the firstborn in sacrifice, to enthrone the Lamb in Daniel's heart, to do what God sent them to Babylon to do, to bring forth his son, for them to labor in childbirth, like Micah chapter 4 tells them. Go to Babylon and travail and bring forth the son. This is God's purpose. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The whole spirit of my intent, my purpose, we're going to bring forth my son in Babylon. In the midst of those things, well, Daniel's all part of that personally. But God's preparing him all through his journey in those 70 years personally. And in chapter 2, when the king had a dream, when he was just a teenager, and God used him, when none of the wise men, you know, we spent a long time in chapter 2 in this go-around in Daniel, but I believe with great purpose, because in chapter 2, the king has this dream that is making his heart pound. It's the king's dream on the king's bed of the king's head. It's the king's vision. It's in chapter 2 and Daniel's young. And it's deeply personal to the king. He can't understand. There's no interpretation. So we know the story. None of the wise men of this world, no one, no human being could interpret that dream. And Daniel was so intimately involved in that whole crazy crisis. And he learned a most valuable lesson as a teenager that would affect him the rest of his life, not to be a prophet, not to be a great man of God, but for the Lord to take ground, to deal deeply, to root out and tear down and build up, to root up and tear down that beast, that old man, and to bring forth the king, the slaughtered lamb, the government of God in this man. And what he learned in chapter 2 is now coming to bear in incredible efficacy in how he personally responds to God giving him a dream that is his personal dealing on his bed, just like Nebuchadnezzar had his in chapter 2. But let's just look in chapter 2 at verses 19 through 23 and just refresh our hearts on some of the things that Daniel discovered of the Lord as he was being trained in dealing with King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and he knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me that which we desired of thee. For now thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." And there's so much more in chapter 2 that you can read along these lines. The way that Daniel humbled himself and made himself so low and confessed he could never interpret this dream. Only God could. I mean, these were things that were worked into him. He understood that there was no way anyone could interpret the things of God. That no man can interpret the things of God but God himself. Not a vision, not a dream, not God's word, not God's teaching. No man can interpret it. Daniel is in a broken spirit. He's open to God showing him the full and the true interpretation, not just of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but of his dream, his personal dream. Daniel will not be satisfied with an interpretation that is just an inspired view of his dream that still leaves him unchanged. Something in Daniel refused to stop at incredible levels of God interpreting in great detail Daniel's dream, his nightmare, his personal dealing. It's incredible. It's incredible the way Daniel's heart pursued the Lord. It's just incredible. It's funny because that is affecting me personally deeper than all the depths of beasts rising from seas and imagery and incredible things that this prophecy visions, that this prophecy shares. But when the Holy Spirit began to show me from the Father's eyes how Daniel looked in the way he received and pursued the interpretation of his own dealing, I was like, Lord, I can take that to my own personal way of responding to you. I can learn from Daniel something that could eternally minister back to you in the way you want me to receive when you deal with me. That's what I'm gleaning from these amazing visions. Something so much more small and simple, but precious, I believe, to the Lord. But within these great visions, you'll see Daniel's response. Daniel was not willing to be satisfied with great depth, with great clarity, with what some would call God-given interpretation to the uttermost lengths. He wanted the great surgeon to probe deeper and deeper into him with his two-edged sword to show Daniel his motives and his intents on how these beasts within rise and seek the government and eventually take the Lamb's throne and eventually desecrate and make abomination of the altar and eventually rob the Father of the evening and the morning sacrifice day after day after day after day after day. pro-self would be so satisfied with, I had a dream. God's dealing with me. I saw the winds of heaven blowing by the Spirit of God. I saw beasts rising out of my sea. God explained what all four of the beasts mean. And then I saw the Ancient of Days sitting on a throne, and I saw fiery streams coming out of him, and thousands of thousands ministering to him, and beasts being burned alive and brought to ash by the touch of his fiery flame. I saw that. I saw that. Can you just see pro-self being puffed up by the knowledge of the interpretation of the vision and the dream? Knowledge is puffing. This knowledge interpretation is just puffing and puffing and puffing and puffing this pro-self person up. And the whole time they're saying, look how God's dealing with me. I see the beast that is me. I see the Lamb on the throne. I see millions ministering. God gave me this vision. Not only that, the Holy Spirit interpreted it to me. I am certainly in the purpose of God. I am certainly one who is running with the horsemen. Certainly I am at the head of the pack, having been given of God such great insight into the beast and into pro-self and into how God wants to deal with it. Certainly I am. Can you just hear the wording? Certainly I am. Daniel's like, mm-mm. I am not impressed with all of that, because I am not changed. Now, me saying that is worth nothing, but let's look in Daniel chapter 7 and let's qualify some of those statements by the Word of God for you to consider. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7 and let's just read 1 through 14, and then we're going to stop and see Daniel's response in verse 15. But let's bear in mind that what we just said. And as we're turning in our Bibles to chapter 7, beginning to get ready to read those 14 verses, let's remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I understand all mysteries and all prophecies and have not love, the nature of God, it's nothing. But the question is it really nothing to me? I think it was nothing to Daniel's heart. He wanted God on the inside and wouldn't be satisfied with anything less. So let's look at that. Daniel chapter 7, we're just going to read 1 through 14 and then we're going to stop at verse 15 and look at his response. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man. A man's heart was given to it. I beheld another beast, a second like a bear. It raised up itself on one side, had three ribs in the mouth of it between teeth. They said unto thus, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads. Dominion was given unto. Can you imagine how exciting this would be to someone whose only delight was in to see deep things of God, to see deep hidden mysteries and get the interpretation of that? What a delight to someone who sought knowledge, but not God. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured it, break in pieces. It stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. It's amazing, the detail. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Judgment was set, books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, the body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Most people would be so satisfied with chapter 7 verses 1 through 14 that would be the end of the story. But not Daniel. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit. I, Daniel, was grieved in my body. The visions of my head troubled me. What's going on, Daniel? This is a glorious vision of beasts being destroyed and Jesus being enthroned. Why are you grieved in the midst of your spirit? Why are you grieved in the midst of your body? Verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Just right there is where the dove landed on me personally. I asked him the truth of all this. Most people would say, you just received the truth of all this. He just explained the entire thing in phenomenal detail to you. What more do you want from God or this angel? He has given you the interpretation. Daniel grieved in his body, in his spirit, because I believe it's because he knows he's not changed. He's not. The vision may be changed. The vision may have progressed from beasts rising in the sea to the Ancient of Days being enthroned. But Daniel's spirit, Daniel's body, he's grieved because it hasn't manifested in him yet, and therefore he believes he hasn't seen the truth of the vision. And he goes to God or God's messenger, whomever this is that stood by, and he says, tell me the truth of these things. We both know if I stop now, I'm just puffed up. I am worse than I was when I began trying to deal with beasts, because now I have all this knowledge about pro-self and beasts that have made me more inflated. I'm grieved that I just see these things in a vision or in a dream vision, but I need to see them in me. I need to experience this. This needs to be written upon the tables of my heart. This needs to be my story, and it's not. And I don't believe I see yet. I don't believe I've seen this in a way where I'm changed into that same image. Show me the truth. Show me the truth. So he told me. And he made me know the interpretation of these things. Isn't that funny? It uses the word interpretation. That's such a key word in the book of Daniel. Only God gives the interpretation. Daniel knew that. He had brokenness in him. He had lowliness at work in him. He had deep humility forged over years of God fathering him in the midst of Babylon, in the midst of watching kings fall, in the midst of watching pride and man and the strength of flesh and all that he had experienced in Judah. He knew that there was a need for a greater interpretation than another deeper life booklet or another great explanation of the cross. They needed more. The times and the seasons had changed. They were in captivity. They needed more. Daniel needed more. Oh, how God responded to that heart. Now God begins to give the interpretation of the dream. Let's read. Okay, I'll tell you. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth. Okay, let's just look at that verse. We've got four beasts. They're called great beasts in this interpretation. Those are the beasts we saw in the beginning of Daniel chapter 7. But he said, and those beasts were rising out of the sea. But he said, now in the interpretation of the dream, the real interpretation, he says, Daniel, those are the four great kings which are going to rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. Okay, let's look at that. The beast coming out of the sea, and this is just for you to meditate on and ask the Lord, and please, it may not be right. It's just what I'm, in my heart I hold. But I see the sea, which many scriptures interpret as the nations and the multitudes of people. But I believe in this personal vision, the sea is relating to the unformed depths, even as Genesis spoke of the great void that was upon the earth and the unformed depths of the earth. That in Daniel there was an unformed depth where the Christ had not been formed and enthroned in him. That sea of the nations in Daniel's inward parts that had not been possessed by the Lamb. The nations in his land, the land of his heart and inward parts that had not been possessed by the Lamb, the unformed depths of his nations, that those beasts would eventually come out of, not just rise up from his sea, from his depths. We know what that feels like when the beasts rise from within us. That's that nature, that pro-self nature, that self. We know the feeling of the beasts rising from the sea, but the interpretation of those beasts are going to come out of the earth or manifest out of the earth, which we are that earth again, as kings. Kings that want to govern, kings that want to take the throne of the Lamb, kings that want to reign instead of, again, the evening and morning sacrifice, that altar being a throne, God ever getting his son in sacrifice as the governing dominion of our heart and being, the government of his body. These kings are going to come out of the earth, these beasts becoming governing kings that manifest, take dominion, and rule and reign. And now that's personal. That's personal. Those beasts become kings. Those kings come out of the earth. That defines who you are. Those beasts that are not truly dealt with by the slaughtered lamb and his fiery flames. But the saints, verse 19, but the saints of, or 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. So now at this point you're going, wow, Daniel, you have pressed in way past what I would have done. And now you've got this interpretation of what those beasts are going to look like in you if they remain undealt with by the cross and and if they're not dispossessed by the slaughtered lamb, what they'll be. Okay, you've got it. You've got your interpretation. Be happy. You can stop now. Chapter 7 should be over. Oh, no, not for Daniel. He goes, no, I have another question. Verse 19, I would like to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, which was exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were iron and his nails of brass, and he devoured and brake in pieces and stamped with the residue of his feet. And okay, so at this point, Daniel's like, okay, I get it. These things can become such a government in me that they'll rule and reign and make war with the Lamb and take the throne away from him. I want to know about that fourth beast. See, he is, if you will, God coming up to the surgeon and saying, no, right here, what this fourth beast, deal with him. Let's look at it. Let's look at that. Come on. I need the Lord. I'm not looking at it to identify with it. I'm not looking at it to be focused on myself. I want him out. I want this dealt with by the slaughtered lamb and his fiery flame consuming that body of that beast until it is gone. I want the vision to become fire in me and deal with the exceedingly dreadful beasts until they're all gone. How many of us, and I am so personally guilty of this, when God deals with us, we try to divert it to the least beast. Okay, God, I know you're dealing with me in this area. I would just like to say that I'm doing pretty good here. This is just a little goat. It's not even a beast. Can we talk about this area? It's not hard to look at. I feel like I can, you know, probably focus on that without getting too consumed with whatever. Daniel says, let's go. Tell me about I'm not going to justify my flesh. I'm not going to minimize the stuff in me that needs to be removed. Get the virus out. Let the Lamb take this out with his fiery flame. Let him consume this exceedingly dreadful beast in me with the brightness of his coming. Let that double-edged sword that comes out of his mouth slay this exceedingly dreadful beast that wars against the Lamb. Let's look at it, Lord, together. Deal with me, O my Father. Take control of this part of my heart by the application of the cross that I want you. I give you the authority and permission to deal within me. I don't justify or turn my head away or minimize or divert your attention to something else so we don't look at this. Lord, I want your government deep inside. I want you to possess me in my inward parts. I want the Lamb to truly be enthroned. I want these beasts dealt with. I don't want them to become kings coming out of my earth. I want the Lamb to be coming out of my earth. And I want to dig up the root of these things and remove them by the finished work of the cross. I want the dunamis of God to eradicate these beasts until they are consumed in the fire of that dynamite that Calvary released when he annihilated all flesh in the death of his Son. Lord, I believe the cross is the power of God, dunamis, to reach my beast, yes, my exceedingly dreadful ones. I don't need to divert. I don't need to rationalize, to justify, to shift blame, to scapegoat. Deal with me, O Lord, deal with me. Daniel continues in that spirit till the end of the verse, And that is why we started with this in the beginning. Chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "In the third year of the reign of the king Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first." I don't think that's just a chronological reference to time. Personally, I believe it's him saying, after he was able to give me that vision in chapter 7, he was able to proceed and continue by allowing me to be with him even deeper. In chapter 8, you know, to whom it has much, much more will be given. I don't know the exact wording of that, but to who is faithful with much, more will be given. Or even if it's who is faithful with a little, but Daniel was faithful. The point is, Daniel was faithful with God's intention in giving him that dream and dealing with him. He didn't make it a deeper life teaching. He didn't get puffed up with knowledge. He didn't stop before the interpretation became the applied work of the cross in him personally. He wasn't satisfied until the Lamb was enthroned. He was faithful to God's heart in why God gave him that dream. And because of that, God gave him chapter 8, which goes even more into answering the heart cries of God in the purpose for the captivity, which we'll look at even in the math equation that's in that chapter. Had he just stopped with the basic, "I get it, in captivity we see a lot of beasts, pro-self is being dealt with, the cross needs to be fire, the Lamb needs to be enthroned, I get it, I see what God's trying to say, I even have a clarity and a vision, even an interpretation of what all this means." The man God used more than anyone to speak personally, if you will, maybe not anyone, because I'm now being corrected by the Holy Spirit. We've got Ezekiel, we've got Jeremiah. But one of the top three that God used to speak out from the captivity is a man that would not be satisfied with, "Oh yeah, I understand. In fact, in chapter 9, the man is on his face weeping and fasting and interceding. Chapter 10, 11, I mean, he goes into death for people to have the Lord in the way the Lord needed. He's not satisfied to be a great man who understands the dealing of God in that generation. He doesn't lift himself up. He isn't satisfied with anything short of God dealing with him and bringing forth the Lamb in him. And this is a man that was the right-hand man of king after king. This is the man that was the top dude of all the wise men at a young age. This is the man that served in the palaces, was given great honor. If anyone could have got a big head and become satisfied, it was Daniel, a man God used continuously. None of that is recorded in Scripture as the tenor of this man's heart. And I believe within all of these myriads of great prophecies and visions and what many have come unto as an end times puzzle and prophecy, and I'm not, God may have been dealing and showing them things on those lines of which I have no idea. And praise the Lord for that. But for me personally, all those things become very dim and insignificant in the light of a man with a broken heart that just said, "I want why you sent all of us here into Babylon. I want your Lamb enthroned. I want why you created the heavens and the earths fulfilled, for your Son to have a habitation, for us to be a kingdom of priests, for the things of your heart to find satisfaction in us." He wouldn't be satisfied. The joy of the Lord was his strength, not his own brilliant career as a prophet or deep interpretation of things of God. In a certain sense, I believe to Daniel that would have been vile. Because it wouldn't have been the Lamb, the Son. And so we find in the progression of God giving Daniel interpretation and being involved with dreams and visions, a heart that can resonate well beyond prophetic interpretations into personal dealings where the Father can go deep and apply His word as a two-edged sword and divide out motives and intents and even look at the exceedingly dreadful and deal with that by the cross and bring forth the Lamb and walk out of that captivity changed, not more puffed up because we took all the pro-self stuff unto our own glory, but changed into His image, different, just like the Lord shared with us at Passover last year, that they who were sheltering in place during Passover and Exodus and eating the Lamb, much like we were and are, they were preparing for a journey, that they were going to walk out of those houses in which they had been eating Lamb, different, changed, not the same, not full of inflated wisdom and glorious stories about what God did when the death angel passed and all these crazy things that happened in 2020 or in Exodus 12, or not stories, not deep interpreted. They were supposed to be full of Lamb, different. When they stepped out of their houses, they were supposed to be different. When they stepped out of the 70-year captivity, God's people were supposed to be different. Not like my experience in Babylon, page 300. My interpretation of the pro-self spirit, page 500. No. I am the living epistle. I'm changed. I got the real interpretation. Christ formed in me. Hallelujah. I just hear the angels singing. I got the real interpretation. Christ formed in me. Less of those beasts gone, eradicated, and Christ really there. Not in teaching or experiences or visions or anything short of another spirit, another nature that comes forth and manifests from the earth, from the earthen vessels of our people, our hearts, God's people. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your dealings right now. We thank you for the living spirit of God, who is as a surgeon with nail-scarred hands, probing, not to shame us or uncover us, but to bring forth the Son, to change us into His image for more of His government to manifest through our earth. Oh Lord, may we turn the page from verse 14 to verse 15, and then may we turn it again to verse 18 and continue, Lord, until there's no more pages to turn, but a Lamb to manifest to the glory of God. Oh, Father, we thank you for the season we are in. May we find your heart in this season and honor the true purpose and end that you have longed for from even before time to this very moment. We pray this in Jesus' name.